right here on Long Island in a business sense. William Turley is one of the fine partners, one of the great firms, Turley, Redman, Rosasco, and Rosasco. And nice enough to give us a couple of minutes this morning. First time on the program, we welcome Bill. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you, Jay?
It is great to have you here. You know, and by the way, the great firm, free consultations and everything. I think six locations, Bill, is that it?
Well, we have three major locations. This, the one in Ronkonkoma, that's our main office. And we have a Garden City office, which has a full-time staff, and Shirley as well. We have a couple of satellites, too. But really, the three main locations are the ones that we, you know, where we have the full-time staff.
Free number, 1-800-671-4927, online as well. We'll give all the information out. But Bill Turley and Workman's Comp spoke to Bill a little bit yesterday. And, you know, to me, this is a fascinating topic, Bill, because, you know, there's so many different avenues to it. And it's just different to me than it was, as I stated to you yesterday, I think, at least, in the fact that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, things have changed so much in that span of time regarding this. And it's all about keeping on top of things, which way to go if you are in the representation end of things. But there's a lot involved now with this whole thing.
Yes, it has become very complicated.
Let's get into a couple of things.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, back when I started doing this, almost 35 years ago, you know, it was very simple. There were some very simple forms and things that you had to fill out to get your benefits. But, you know, the application for benefits has increased in size, and there are so many other factors that have to be taken into consideration for the injured worker. And it's made lawyers a lot busier, to say the least.
And I would think, you know, visitation into the courts and everything else, there's a lot of back and forth. I would think also there's a lot of pushback involved these days than it was many, many years ago, correct?
Well, yeah. When I first started doing this, it was a lot more injured worker oriented, you know. And the pendulum kind of has started to swing in the other direction. And, you know, now it seems to be more employer oriented, I think.
So more employer-oriented in the fact that there's more, that there's kind of more on the arsenal of the employer side as far as where they could go with all of this stuff, right? Let's put it this way, the fight regarding it. Where do you go if you're representing an individual? Where do you go? Do you have a lot in your arsenal as far as the other side is concerned?
Oh, yeah, sure we do. I mean, you really, it's very important if you have an on-the-job injury that you find an attorney who practices in that area and specializes in that area. Although as attorneys, we're not allowed to say specialize, but it really is important that you have someone who knows the workers' compensation law and is current on the workers' compensation law. So, because it changes constantly, and just I would say in the last 12 years, we had a major, major change. At one time, you could collect workers' compensation benefits for life. If you were classified as permanently disabled, you could collect a weekly check as long as you remained out of work because of your injuries, or if you were forced to take a lower paying, less demanding job because of your injuries and therefore made less money. That was eliminated in 2007. They put caps on the number of years that you could collect going into the future. In exchange for that, what happened was there was an increase in the benefit rate. However, for people who were low-wage earners, that increase in benefit rates didn't affect them. It didn't really help them at all. But they were hurt by the fact that there are now caps on the permanent partial disabilities, as we call them. That was a major change. That happened in 2007 when Elliot Spitzer was governor.
Right. Now, talk to me a little bit about, you know, just the loss of wage earning capacity in general. How has that changed? You know, we know the types of permanent injuries that could be involved. You know, it could involve anything, you know, spine, head, whatever.
Yes.
What about like a psychiatric type disability, certain types of extremity injuries? I know there's very different types of ways to mitigate and everything else. What about that aspect there?
You're absolutely right. There are different ways that we handle spinal injuries. and internal injuries and psychiatric injuries as opposed to injuries to the extremities, okay? With injuries to the extremities, under this workers' compensation system, we have something called a schedule loss evaluation. In other words, if someone, say, has an injury to their knee, all right, they'll be paid lost wage benefits for the time they're out of work. Their medical is 100% covered. And then what happens is when they recover from the injury, they'll get an evaluation from their doctor as to what degree of loss of function they have in the knee, for example. And usually the insurance company will submit a report from their doctor as well. And we usually try to work out, something that everybody's happy with. If not, we have to go to litigation. We have to take testimony from the doctors. And what happens is those percentages of loss of function convert into an award, because what we do in workers' comp is we assign a value to the different extremities. So, for example, your leg is worth 288 weeks of compensation. So if you had a horrendous injury where you lost your leg, they would pay you 288 weeks of benefits, which is calculated at two-thirds of your average weekly wage. Now the maximum is about $900 that you can get per week. And, of course, that's depending on your wage. And what happens is you're awarded that that benefit minus whatever you were paid while you were out, not including the medical costs. So, for example, if your doctor and the insurance company, the doctor, agree that you have a 10% loss of function in your leg, you'll be entitled to 28.8 weeks of benefits. Why? Because a leg is worth 288 weeks. I know it sounds morbid, but, and that would be multiplied by your maximum benefit rate. So that's what we do with extremities, all right? But with spinal injuries, which are very typical in the workers' comp system, because, especially when you have people that do manual labor, they very often have back injuries or neck injuries. What we do is if they are not able to continue working, or if, for example, they take a less physically demanding, lower-paying job, then we address the issue of permanent disability. And what we look at is not only the impairment, not only the injury itself, but we also look at their vocational background. So when we deal with that concept of loss of wage earning capacity, as you mentioned, we're looking at how the injury itself impacts on that person's ability to make a living. So you could take a white-collar office worker who has a back injury who may not lose any time from work at all, because it doesn't impact on his ability to work. He might be in pain, or she might be in pain, but can still do their job, perhaps working at a computer or making phone calls or, making business calls. But someone who does manual work, a construction laborer or an assembly line worker, if they have a back injury, their career might very well be over. So the same back injury might have a severe impact on their ability to work. So they're going to have a higher loss of wage earning capacity, and that's how they get compensated based on that.
Bill Turley with us, one of the partners, Turley Redman Rosasco. Rosasco, other areas of expertise besides workman's comp, Social Security, disability, construction accident, veterans disability benefits, cases right here in Long Island throughout the city, they are certainly in tune with. One of the other things I was reading about, Bill, under workers' comp law here in the state, injured workers, tell me if I'm wrong here, injured workers are supposed to be able to at least choose their doctor if the doctor has the right credentials, I guess, all within the workman's comp, umbrella, and take the insurance. But I know it kind of gets a little complicated. I was reading that a lot of doctors have stopped accepting workers' comp insurance. And what makes it worse now, the state, they don't keep the most accurate of records either on which doctors participate in the program. And that puts a little bit more burden now on the injured worker, to find the right type of medical care, after a type of injury. I mean, how has that kind of muddied the water, so to speak?
Well, you're absolutely correct. The doctors have to be coded by the workers' compensation board. And they're assigned code letters, and they have to, maintain certain standards to keep those code letters. But yes, you're correct. If you do have an on-the-job injury, you do have to be treated by a doctor who accepts workers' compensation. Usually when someone first goes to an emergency room for their injury, that's not a problem because, of course, the hospital's accept workers' comp. And most of these walk-in centers, these walk-in clinics will accept workers' comp as well. But once you get to that point, and most injuries in workers' comp are orthopedic. So there are still a lot of orthopedists on Long Island that accept workers' compensation. The paperwork has increased, absolutely. But, you know, there are still a number of doctors that accept it. The board has been working on, the Workers' Compensation Board has been working on something called a medical portal, where the doctors can submit a lot of their information electronically. So that's been in the works for a while. So I think, you know, a lot of these things are going to get ironed out. But, again, there's still a number of orthopedists and chiropractors who accept workers' comp. And they've learned to deal with the paperwork and the regulations. It's like anything else. No one likes change. But, you know, you deal with it.
A little research and you get it done. So, now you've been in this field a while. I was reading, about 30 years or so. How did you kind of get interested in all this stuff way back?
Well, when I was a teenager, I worked for a workers' compensation lawyer after school. He had an office in Lower Manhattan, and I attended Nazareth High School in Brooklyn back then. And after school, starting in my junior year, I used to get on the subway, go into Lower Manhattan after classes, and I used to run his bags around all over Lower Manhattan. He would have to deliver files to insurance companies, and I'd have to pick up files, and sometimes I'd have to drop his files off at the World Trade Center, which is where the Workers' Compensation Board was back then. And he was a great guy. His name is Joseph Manis, and he really did a lot of appellate work in the workers' compensation field. Brilliant guy, great mentor. And I, you know, of course, kept in touch with him over the years, and he always wrote letters of recommendation for me for college and law school and all that. And I wound up working for him as a lawyer 10 years later. In 1985. So that's how I got involved in the workers' comp field. And I did defense work for about a year and a half, and then I went over to representing the injured workers.
Wow. So it kind of went full circle and everything else for you. That's interesting. That's incredible. Now, you told me also you had a very funny story regarding the whole workman's comp, one of the cases. Would you mind telling the audience a little bit about that? You told me something.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That was a crazy story. Go ahead.
This will give you an idea of what the climate was back in the 80s in workers' comp. It was very, very worker-oriented. And we had a case in the office. And again, this is when I was first started out. I was doing defense work representing insurance companies. There was a case of these construction workers who were on a roof. And it was raining. And so they had some downtime. And what they did was they went to the roof of an adjacent building, not where their project was, but, you know, another adjacent building. And they were stripping the copper off the roof, and they were going to sell it for scrap. And apparently this was a very common practice back then. And the employer would just kind of, like, turn a blind eye to it. And, I don't remember all the intimate details of it, but what happened was one of the guys slipped while he was up on the roof, and he fell to his death. And the widow made a claim, and this thing went up and down. It went through the workers' compensation system, then it went into the courts, and it finally wound up at the Court of Appeals. And my employer at the time was arguing the case on behalf of the insurance company that this person's widow should not be entitled to the benefits. And I remember the day that case was decided, he walked into the office, and I'm sitting at my desk, and he throws the decision on my desk, and he says, "Billy," he goes, the inmates have taken over the asylum." He goes, "I can't believe this decision. I give up. They had found in favor of the widow." And basically the reasoning was that, you know, this was a common practice then, and the employer knew that it went on, and regardless of the fact that the guy was committing larceny, you know, it was found compensable. In other words, they were entitled to benefits, and that would never fly today. It would never fly today. But that was the climate back then.
That is unbelievable. And, you know, we talk about the changes and everything else. That is unbelievable. And, you know, the copper stripping is a big offense even to this day. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you see how the laws have changed and everything else. That is incredible. That's a crazy story. But fascinating in the world of workman's comp. Bill Turley, Turley, Redmond, Rosasco, ladies and gentlemen, a bunch of offices. The Hub, of course, right in our backyard in Ronkonkoma. Make a phone call. Find out more, 631-595-0862. Bill Turley, part of the great firm. Hey, great stuff, and hope to have you on again. How's that?
Thank you very much, Jay. I'd love to.